So anyway, the trade happened, and they traded all the time with the Spanish, and then they established themselves, and they got food, and they got a food supply to supply Alaska. And I want to make sure I'm answering your question. Tell me your question again.
Are there still otters?
And are there still otters? So Monterey said, look, we'll trade with you, but that's our otter. Don't hunt it. Yet they didn't have a way to hunt it. So the Russians went, okay. But they established Fort Ross, and they hunted all the coastline but Monterey. Monterey is a very small bay, and you can see end to end, so when a ship comes in, you know it. And they actually captured some of the hunters that had come in there, and the Russian-American company had to pay for their release. So it just became protocol, don't hunt in Monterey. Don't hunt along that coastline. And that's why they're still there in Monterey.
That's the only place?
That's the only place. Big Sur, they're starting to come back. You know, we've tried to relocate them, and they don't do well. The water temperature, when you're born and in a water temperature, and then you move to even 2 degrees colder or warmer, you don't do well. And so the sea otter, it's true for them. So let's see, I could use, although I won't do it, I'm gonna call up maybe a couple others, but the next part of the trade is you have the fur, and then you have the manager at Fort Ross.
And the fur, you the card?
Right there. And a manager at the fort would have been overseeing the transfer of goods. And he would want to pay the Native Alaskans for their services, usually in beads. Beads were a really big deal because you could take those beads to your neighbor and trade for other goods. They didn't want Russian money. They didn't want Russian company scrip. They wanted trade beads. And that we found a lot of those in our archaeological sites.
Beads.
Beautiful beads.
With stone.
It's a blue glass and white and then Italian copio. And those were beads in, coming from Europe and Eastern Russia that were a huge trade item with Native peoples that all people were using. Like the Americans were using, the British were using, the Russians were using at every port to give to Native peoples to encourage their relationship. So we have the trade, but then, so where does the pelt go? And who knows, who was paying the highest price for these pelts? Anyone have a sense of that? Well, Russia paid a high price, but China paid even a higher price. Who will come up and be a Chinese merchant for me? I don't have that on one of the cards. So anyone willing to step up and come on up? You guys are being shy.
Come. Chinese merchant.
Oh, we have one right here.
Oh, let Thomas be a Chinese.
Yeah. Oh, Thomas. Okay.
I don't know what I'm going to do, but...
Well, I normally would get you all dressed up, but we're going to forego that as well. And you have some goods coming from China. Now, I actually do need... Is there a Russian officer here on one of your cards? Anyone? A Russian officer? A naval officer? Ship's captain? Russian?
Who says the sea captain? No.
I think it's American, but it's, she doesn't want to come up. Anyone else?
I am. I'm a Russian-born naval.
Captain, come on up. Okay, come on up. And read your card to us, please.
Okay. A Russian born in 1809 of a noble family, educated in the Naval Cadet Corps, he sailed to the Russian-American colonies after several years in service with the Navy. In 1835, he arrived at Bodega and traveled by horseback to the Ross Settlement. They stayed the night at the Ranch, with Ephem Moonen in charge. They only stayed at Ross for 2 nights.
Okay, excellent. Well, I'm turning you into a captain on a ship. Okay. And you're a Russian captain, and you're a Chinese merchant in Canton, in China. And you guys don't like each other.
Oh, yes.
So turn your backs to each other. Not very friendly. Here's Russia, here's China. They're not good friends. We have the pelt. You have the pelt. Uh-huh. And you want this pelt to go to China because China pays the highest price. So how do we do it? We do it with an American ship's captain, actually. And so is anyone else here an American ship's captain? Who will come do that for me?
Oh, please.
Come on up. All right, and I'll just represent it in this way as a ship's captain.
Spyglass.
And so here you are, you've arrived from Boston, and you like each other. So you're friends. And we had all these ships come in. The thing I want to tell you about Fort Ross is Bodega Bay was the most active port along California for about 10 years. And it was because the Spanish didn't welcome these ships, but Russians did because they needed the trade. So the only reason that you came to the Northwest Pacific is this fur trade. So you have agreed, you tell her that you will take this pelt to China. And
thank
you. You'll come over to China, and you are friends with them too. Everyone likes you. And you took these pelts and you agreed that you would split the profits.
With who?
With the one who had the pelt. And so you're going to have the pelt, and we're going to have the goods. So
All the goods.
But you're happy.
I'm happy.
Because you're going to make about a 500% profit on this. So smile, okay? And then you're going to sail back over here to Fort Ross, to Bodega Bay, with all the goods. Now, here's some of the items coming in. Does this look very important to Native people?
It should be.
They didn't have much sugar. They were okay.
Not until now.
It should be now. How about a fan?
It's pretty
not
cold
very
up
important,
there.
Although it was coming in.
It's pretty cold up there.
Anyone know what these are?
For teeth?
Tea nippers, or sugar nippers. It would break your tea up for you. And these weren't that important. How about this item?
Oh, scissors.
Huge. This would change your life. So scissors were a big deal. How about tea? Everyone drank tea then. This is a tea brick from China.
A tea brick?
Yes, this is actually, when you read in history about tea bricks, this is what they look like. And actually, just today...
What is it all compressed
by? It's all compressed tea. It's actually compressed with oxen blood. Oxen blood gave iron as well to the colonies. They would ship it this way, but it's actually still made this way today. You can buy this today. And the block of each block is worth a value of money. In Mongolia, in the markets today, a lot of them trade this way still today.
So how do you
use it?
So you take off a piece and put it in a boiled pot of boiled water, and then you pour it out, steam it, and then whatever strength you want, then... You know, it would be the one pot sitting on top of the samovar, if you had a samovar. Mm-hmm. Most natives didn't. But a pot of boiled water, and then you'd put that in there. Drink that.
This is original tea bag.
The blood stayed? I mean, the blood was part of it?
Uh-huh, because it would coagulate and keep the tea hard. And so, but it was good for you to drink it. Good iron. So here's all the goods that you got from China. And now you're going to choose three items.
Do I want to make money or keep some of it?
You probably want to make money. And no, you get, because you agree,
I will choose.
You get three items.
Well, I will choose the scissors.
You take that.
And I will choose the tea.
Okay.
And I guess
the sugar nippers.
The sugar nippers.
Or tea nippers. Okay. And actually, you would have more, of course. And you would have a shipload, and you would get half. The agreement was, remember, she had the pelt, Fort Ross, and we wanted you to take the pelt, and then we agreed, because you're doing the transportation, to split the profits. That's what we're doing. So you're going back to Boston. Come on over here to Boston. And you've done very well. In fact, you're going to make a huge profit, only for transporting. That's all you had to do. Now, back to you. You're doing fantastic. So you only gave a handful of beads for this pouch.
Ah.
Look at all the goods that you
yes,
have now.
Yes, all right.
And is anyone a Spanish priest on one of your cards? Anyone want to come up and be a Spanish priest? Do you want to come up and be a Spanish priest? Oh, come on up.
Yeah, he's a
okay.
Spanish priest.
I don't have an object for you, but come on up. And you have grown amazing amounts of grain with the labor of the Indians, and that's what we want from you. So you're going to hand over your grain, and you pick two items. Okay. All right, and so now in exchange for their grain, you have items. So Spanish California benefited from the Russian American Company. And a lot of the history books that you read today don't talk about that. They talk about they didn't like the Russians being here. They traded all the time. And we know this from the Khlebnikov archives. Khlebnikov was at Fort Ross in 1820, 21, 22, and he talks about the extensive trade with the Spanish. And they hung out together, partied together, played together. They were good neighbors.
Even the priests?
Even the priests. The priests especially.
Wow.
Yeah, they really liked the Russians and felt very close to them. So, excellent. You guys can put all your stuff here. Thank you. Excellent job. So my idea of telling you this and sharing this with you is to give you a visual of all the people at Ross and all the trade going on. It wasn't just a simple trade. It wasn't just a sea otter. There were a lot of people involved, from the native women that intermarried, which we saw earlier, intermarrying with the Native Alaskans, which is the largest population at Ross, then the trade that extended after that and how that all worked. So there was a lot of people benefiting from the sea otter fur trade, at least until the sea otter lasted, which wasn't that long. And so I'm going to give you some dates now. Is there any questions about what you just saw, this little trade scenario? So, you know, 1812 is the year that Fort Ross was established. Remember going back, 1799 is when the company actually formed. So this is now 13 years later, and they actually arrived in 1806, which is what we talked about. It took a few years to get permission from the Tsar to actually build the Ross Colony, and from the government, and then the permission, and then the actual doing. And again, that was 1812. Yeah.
Quick questions. My understanding was there was only one crossing from Siberia into China across the Super River.
Kiapka.
And that was because the Chinese and the Russians were at odds with one another.
Yes.
Therefore, they needed a middleman. And I understood it wasn't Americans, it was British.
Both. Yeah, both.
Because the British had access to their ports.
Yes, and the American ships as well. We have the O'Kane, we have the Washington. A lot of ships were coming in from Boston and New York, also representing that trade. And they actually did, that's a land mass. That's a land connection. They were actually going to Canton, is where they were doing a lot of the trade with the Americans and the British, just what you saw here. Exactly.
So why couldn't the Russians establish something permanent here? Did they run out of money?
Yeah, so that's what we were just kind of getting to, is when they established in 1812, you know, the sea otter hunt is on, it's alive, it's like, wow. And they would get sometimes over 10,000 pelts a year, with the American ships doing part of the hunting, as they contracted with some of these American ships, put Native Alaskans on the ships, and then they went around and did this. It was by 1821, 22, when the otter population was pretty already depleted. And then they're like, okay, now what? And then what happened, so this is Spanish California, and we're all friends, everyone likes each other, you know, everyone's good. But now it's Mexico, California in 1822. And Mexico did not like the Russians here. Remember, Russia and Spain are allies against Napoleon. Now Mexico's declared independence from Spain. Russia won't recognize the independence because they're friends with Spain. So if you recognize Mexico's independence, you're hurting yourself politically, and they couldn't do it. So basically, Mexico wasn't friendly, and they increased the price of trade in the ports, like doubled it, and they doubled the price of grain to supply Alaska. And now in Washington and Canada, we have the Hudson Bay Company producing food, and now the Russians can get food cheaper, closer, we don't need you, we're not coming into your port, we're going to try to make it work. They actually tried, made brickyards, they made brick, they made built ships. California was the first shipyard was at Fort Ross. The first ships built in California was at Fort Ross. They were mining coal, didn't do very well. They were doing prefab houses and trying to sell those off, it doesn't do well. And so they were trying other industries, and actually they tried to grow their own food. And again, a lot of you have been to Fort Ross, so you know how many pocket gophers we have. You've seen the holes. I mean, we could probably play gopher tap, so many gophers. And they ruined their crops, plus we have a summer fog, unlike San Diego and Santa Barbara. So that didn't go well. So they started in their head already, I guess we're good, we're done. And by 1836, they were totally done, and they were looking for a buyer. And in 18, go ahead.
Sorry, just to go back to the part of John's question there, which was about that 1812 period, we have our own war against Great Britain. And so what is the ramification with that trade?
Not much.
And there's no conflict in the Pacific? Per se.
Yeah, it didn't really come to our shores that way, so.
Because it wasn't really part of
it wasn't
United
a part
States.
Of Russia, it wasn't a part of anything
and
that was
part
not
of
part of Spain either at
and
that time.
You mentioned Washington and Canada had some
foods Hudson Bay Company and the Pacific Hudson Northwest Company.
Trying to grow things.
And they did very well.
Where was that?
That was at the different, well, and also the mouth of the Columbia and Astoria and that whole region,
and
that whole valley.
Area, okay.
Yeah.
From that time, interesting.